There's a line on your exam report or your CP2000, and it says accuracy-related penalty. 20%, stacked on top of tax the IRS already says you underpaid. And now you're sitting there trying to decide, do I just pay this or do I fight it?
Right, and the useful thing is, the IRS publishes its own numbers on this penalty. So you don't have to guess how common it is or how often it comes off.
Give me the headline.
FY 2023. The IRS assessed 564,913 of these penalties on individual, estate, and trust returns, worth $1.39 billion.
564,913. That's half a million people getting the same letter you got.
And in that same year, they abated $450 million of it. So about 32% of the assessed dollars came back off.
A third. And 2 years later?
FY 2025, the count dropped. 440,718 penalties. But the dollars went up to $1.50 billion. And $592 million abated, which is closer to 39%.
Wait, fewer penalties, more money?
That's the shift. Average assessment went from roughly $2,460 to roughly $3,400, about a 38% jump in 2 years.
So they're charging it less often, but they're charging it bigger.
Bigger, yeah. And here's the number I'd actually circle. That 32% is by dollars. By count, only 65,576 of the 564,913 penalties came off. That's about 12%.
Okay, say that again, but slower, because those two percentages are telling me different things.
Fair. 12% of the penalties came off. 32% of the money came off, which means the abatements are concentrated in the larger penalties. The cases where somebody responded formally, argued reasonable cause or a legal defense, put documents behind it. The small ones, mostly nobody challenges them. They just get paid.
Oh, that's the part people miss. It's not that big penalties are easier. It's that big penalties are the ones that get answered.
That's how I read it. The data can't tell you what happens in your case. It's just describing what the population did. But it does tell you the response is the variable you control.
Back up on the mechanism, though. Why does this thing even attach? Because I don't think most people did anything shady.
They mostly didn't. It's IRC 6662. 20% of the underpayment for negligence or a substantial understatement of income tax. And substantial understatement is pure arithmetic. You understate tax by the greater of 10% of the correct tax, or $5,000, and it's triggered. No judgment call in that.
So a machine can do it.
A machine largely does do it. Automated matching against your 1099s and W-2s, or an exam that disallows deductions. The other prong is negligence. No reasonable attempt to comply, or inadequate records. Which is why sole proprietors show up so heavily. A Schedule C audit disallows unsupported deductions, and now you've got an underpayment and, in the examiner's view, sloppy record keeping. Both prongs at once.
Let's do the real dollar version. The article walks one through.
Sure. Self-employed filer. Exam disallows enough Schedule C deductions that the correct tax comes out $27,500 higher than reported. $27,500 is way over $5,000, so the penalty attaches by formula. 20% of $27,500 is
$5,500. $5,500 on top of the $27,500.
On top. And interest runs on both, generally from the return's original due date. So by the time it's assessed, you're past $33,000.
From the original due date, not from the notice.
Not from the notice. That's why every month you spend deciding costs something real.
Okay, what's the clock I'm actually watching?
The response date printed on the notice that proposed the penalty. Miss that, and it gets formally assessed and billed. And the stages after that are automated. Proposed, That's the CP2000 or the exam report or a 30-day letter. And that's your cheapest exit, including going to the IRS Independent Office of Appeals. Then, if you don't respond, a notice of deficiency shows up giving you 90 days to petition tax court. Then, assessed and billed. Then collection notices, which escalate to a CP504, intent to levy your state refund, and eventually an LT11. And that starts a 30-day clock before wage and bank levies become legal.
CP504, then LT11. So at each stage, I'm losing something.
First, your pre-assessment appeal rights. Then, the tax court option. Then, your leverage generally. Same penalty the whole time, just fewer doors.
And I want to ask about court, because 78% is in here somewhere.
Yeah. In litigated accuracy-related penalty cases the National Taxpayer Advocate looked at, the IRS prevailed in full in about 78% of them.
78% in full.
In full. So compare that against the administrative side, where roughly a third of assessed dollars came off. The letters, appeals, reconsideration, that's where the movement is in the data. Court is expensive, and the record there is rough.
So what are the actual paths? Lay them out.
Reasonable cause and good faith. You relied on a competent preparer. Records were destroyed or unavailable for reasons outside your control. Honest mistake on a genuinely unclear issue. Free to request in writing, any stage. Substantial authority or adequate disclosure. Your position had real legal support, or you disclosed it on Form 8275 with the return. Appeals protest before assessment, if you respond by the printed deadline. Audit reconsideration, after assessment, when you've got new information or never got a real chance to respond. Free, but it takes months. And Form 843, a refund claim, after it's assessed or paid.
What about first-time abatement? That's everyone's first thought.
Doesn't apply here. First-time abate covers failure to file, failure to pay, failure to deposit, not IRC 6662. A clean history helps your credibility, but it isn't a legal basis for this penalty.
Good to know. And when is this genuinely a do-it-yourself thing? Because I don't want someone paying for help they don't need.
A few hundred dollars, you agree the underlying tax is right, and your reasonable cause story is simple. Documented hospitalization, or a preparer who erred on complete information you handed them. Write it yourself. Attach the proof. Don't pay anyone for that.
And the other side?
Thousands of dollars, like that $5,500. Or the IRS is hinting at negligence across multiple years. Or the exam disallowed business deductions you believe were legitimate. Or you're weighing a tax court petition, that one especially, because with a 78% full win rate for the IRS, that decision needs a hard-eyed look at your evidence, not optimism. And if you're thinking about court itself, that's a conversation for your own counsel, separate from what we do here.
One more. What if the notice proposes the fraud penalty instead?
Different animal. Civil fraud is 75% of the underpayment, and the IRS has to prove intentional wrongdoing. Get representation before you respond at all. And note, they can't stack fraud and the accuracy penalty on the same portion of an underpayment.
So, next 24 hours.
Find the penalty line on your notice or your account transcript. Confirm it says accuracy-related penalty. Check the amount really is 20% of the underpayment shown. And write down the response date. Then, pull three things. The return for that year, the notice, and any records supporting the position the IRS adjusted. Receipts, 1099s, preparer correspondence.
And then get eyes on it before that date passes. Clarity's enrolled agents will review the notice at no cost and tell you whether reasonable cause, appeals, or reconsideration fits your facts. 888-825-7779.
And do it while it's still a proposal. That's the stage with the most doors open.